Well, hello there, friend. I'm Megan, and you're listening to episode 34 of the Unschool Files podcast. This episode is coming to you from my bed in a hotel room in my new home away from the United States while I am experiencing my first run-in with COVID-19. My family is under quarantine, not only to get better and to start our healing, but also to protect the other people around us from this gnarly thing that I can finally firsthand say is not like a cold. I've had thoughts and emotions spinning in my mind and my heart for months, years now. I've had anger and frustration, sadness. I've felt worried, helpless, and even hopeless at times. I've yelled at family members. I've cried a lot. I've given more than a side eye to people who were once my friends. Big shout out to the ones who've stayed. Your ability to stay tethered to your humanity and mine is not lost on me, and I am eternally grateful. I've also felt a deep yearning for connection, some way to see where so many humans are coming from so that I can somehow begin to understand what in the actual fuck is going on. Why are such extremes the only thing that is on the table? Why do some people make my skin crawl? And what am I modeling to my young people with this sometimes out loud questioning and pontificating? I don't have any answers yet, but in the time I've spent asking, I've also been listening. And I thought, you know, I think I want to share this with the people who listen here. So, here goes. Mutual love. Right relationship is rooted in mutual love. Anytime it's not, well, that's not really consent-based. If there is an absence of reciprocity, then there is likely power being held someplace that is keeping the other person or persons in a state of questioning. Questioning what love is, questioning around self-worth, questioning about one's own feelings and what is real and what is possible. Can you recall being expected to love your parents or caregivers without question? To love another human being is to not need them to meet certain expectations in order to be loved. To extend love to all human beings should not be conditional. Children shouldn't have to be well-behaved to be loved. They shouldn't have to be able-bodied to be loved. They shouldn't need to impress us or other adults to be loved. They just deserve love, unconditionally. To love a child unconditionally, we don't get to control their thoughts, their desires, what they want out of their days, or who they will choose to lay down with in the future. We can only love them, share the world with them, honestly, and hope and wait for their lives to unfold, and that we get to remain a part of them. But there is no guarantee. Okay, let's take that framework and just shift it a bit. Do we have to like all human beings? I think we know the answer to that. There are many, many ways to exist, and not all of them make us feel warm and fuzzy and loving. Some people's beliefs aren't just harmless either. Some people's beliefs are a direct act of violence on other bodies. People are people, and each person is a living, breathing result of their own experience. Abuse, scarcity, abandonment, wealth, abundance, privilege, lack of whatever. We all have an experience, many experiences, that make up who we are and how we move through the world. What does it mean for us to be able to hold the possibility of many existences beyond the ones we know and approve of, but also the ones we fear, the ones we are harmed by, and simply the ones that are not like our own? What does it mean to be with people? Is everything so simple that we are either left or right, straight or gay, right or wrong? Of course not. As an intersectional unschooler, I'm constantly pushing beyond that binary thinking. Why is it so hard for me to sit in the presence of someone whose reality, whose means of living, whose way of being in relationship feel like absolute fuckery to me. Life is complex. It's nuanced and muddy, and also never binary, remember? George Yancey, a philosopher of love, spoke about this thing called fearless listening in a panel alongside bell hooks. "This means we will be wounded in our vulnerability," he said. Like a punch to my gut. Let me say that again. "This means we will be wounded in our vulnerability." So hold on. I have to listen to my child scream and yell at me and just take that? Or, so you want me to listen to a bigot drone on and on about guns and conspiracies and their obsessive need to protect their wealth or the rights of millionaires and billionaires who literally do not give a fuck about them? Well, no. Yes. Wait. What? You see, dominator culture is so pervasive, it oftentimes wants to show up even in well-meaning righteousness. Or straight-up facts. Why are we still debating foundational issues of fact? But to come to a conversation with the end goal of winning automatically makes it a competition from the jump. And when there is a competition, are we listening or are we declaring? Lissity Collins, an artist of many mediums, wrote about fearless listening and said that there are three elements of fearless listening. Listening to ourselves, which is an awareness of our fears and cultivating our own safety, and how our ears are a function as part of our nervous system. And then there's listening to others with an awareness of choice and cultivating curiosity. And she also speaks about these five fear-based habits that stop us from listening to others. And then there's listening to ourselves and others at the same time. Awareness of possibilities, cultivating connection. And then she talks a little about having fun and how to build a new hopeful future. A non-binary poet, public speaker, and mixed media artist named Alok Ved Menon has been publicly leading the way with love in response to people's hate on the internet. And as I was writing these thoughts down for this podcast and taking a break from constant thinking, I went over to Instagram, and sure enough, one of their posts was right at the top of my feed. Here's how it read. Commenter: "I wish there was a puke button. I'd use it on all your photos." Alok: "I wish you peace. Your projection is not my reality. I release myself of your shame and choose my joy. I'm sorry that you've been taught to view medicine as poison and poison as medicine. What's disgusting is not my appearance, but rather the way you treat yourself and, by extension, me. I love you more than you could ever hate me." What's keeping us from listening? Fear? Fear of harm? Fear of erasure? Fear of disagreement? Fear of something that is not like us? Fear of pain, fear of what we might be when we peel back the layers of conditioning and embrace our humanness? Tammy Lenski, a mediation coach and the author of Disagree Better, says that we have these habits that are in the way of how we listen, and they keep us from really tapping into the skill of empathetic listening. I'm not sure if her five reasons are the same as Lissity's, but hers are listening with our answer running in our mind, listening from only our own frame of reference, stealing someone else's story, you know, that thing where we grab a bit of the story and we divert it and the conversation goes somewhere else, attempting to multitask our phones, and lastly, listening to prove we are right. Bell Hooks said, "What are the forces of compassion, of loving kindness? They are waiting, hoping." And I don't think she's speaking of a silent hope, a wishing that people would change without any real efforts to listen or to be heard or to speak differently. We aren't talking about manifesting or anything woo or just simple prayer. Not that prayer is just simple. She spoke about it when it came to her parents. They weren't tolerant of relationships outside of the cis-hetero-patriarchal lens. She had a sister who was a lesbian, a and struggled with a lack of acceptance, and she herself was an activist and spoke about the issues often, often at family dinners. Her parents didn't want to hear it. So what did Belle do? She met them where they were. She sat at dinner with her religious parents and offered to say grace, and in her prayer to the God above, she prayed for the gays. Nobody was going to take prayer from her. That was the language of her upbringing, the language of her parents, and it would be against their own ways to step into a conversation of grace between their child and their Lord. She shared how she would tell her sister, "Who do you think would come and wipe your ass if you fell ill? Mom and Dad would be there." And then she'd laugh and say, "Not me, I wouldn't." Therein lies mutual love, because love transcends the day-to-day minutiae and the personal choices and the thoughts or the questions that plague our minds. Of course, this isn't the case for all moms and dads or caregivers with their children. And sometimes we do lose love and the proximity of the people we thought loved us unconditionally or should have loved us unconditionally. And I don't want to take that experience from anyone. I've felt it before. Absolute abandonment. But when we run from uncomfortable conversations, silo, or retreat to our echo chambers, aren't we becoming more lonely, increasingly angry, more and more intolerant of the noise that comes from the other side? What if we listened fearlessly, listened to our children, listened to our neighbors, listened to the churchgoers and the activists and the shop owners? What do you hear? Can you hear their story, their heart, the experiences that led them to these thoughts, and hold that with loving compassion and empathy first, with healthy boundaries for bodily safety and mental well-being, of course? Many people are just the living, breathing result of what their parents, friends, churches, and political parties have peddled in the name of absolute dominator culture and white supremacy. So I guess the question is this: are we going to be there listening in hope, in waiting for our brothers and sisters of skin and bone, for our children? Will we offer up unconditional love and model empathy and allow ourselves to see it return to us? Or are we going to let the space between us grow until we implode as a species? If you've listened this far, thank you. I appreciate you. I'm really glad that you're here. And I love that you came here with an open mind and an open heart to hear me try to get these thoughts and feelings through the brain fog and a fatigued body and try to find some kind of answers to these questions in my mind. I don't know that I'll ever have all of the answers, but something tells me that if I do not lean into more empathy, more radical empathy and love, that I may not get any closer to finding any. So thank you so much for being here. If you have any questions, thoughts, ideas, concerns, I'd love to hear from you. You can find me over on Instagram at The Unschool Files. You can DM me there or comment publicly if you'd like to have a public conversation. You can also email me, megan@theunschoolfiles.com. And you can find my website that is currently and always under construction and trying to be built up into something for a community space, theunschoolfiles.com. If you are looking for a community within the unschooling world and you would like to speak with other parents and caregivers and facilitators, I also have a community going over on Discord, and you can find the link to that in my website. And also the zine. The zine is on its way to print and will be coming to you if you are one of the subscribers for the physical copies of the zine. It will be coming to you very soon in a few short weeks. And if you are not a subscriber and would like a copy, you have until April 15th, which is just a couple days, to claim a printed copy. Or you can just get a digital print-at-home copy for as little as a dollar. You can find out more on how to be a part of the zine and how to support the zine over on Patreon, and I will drop that link in the show notes as well. I think that's all I've got for today, though. So until next time, stay kind to each other.